It's the Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, and my name is Nicholas Harry Callis. Fan Early Morning Show, The Wake Up Show. The Wake Up Show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply online at 84lumber.com. So Steelers training camp started yesterday, which would make today day two of Steelers training camp. Joe Burrow in the news because he was carted off the field yesterday. It doesn't seem to be as severe as many may have speculated, but being carted off the field is never great. Seems like some kind of calf injury. What an unfortunate thing for the Bengals if they would have lost him again. Remember a couple years ago, he got hurt rather early in the season and they lost him. And they had to wait till next season to really have him break out, so that would have been rough to have that happen all over again. What a wish injury, but, you know, well, he's on the field. The Steelers may very well be in danger. The Bengals are my favorite to win the AFC North, not if he's not playing quarterback, but, yeah, I've been saying I was going to tell you who I thought was going to win the AFC North for the last 2 days, and I just haven't gotten around to it, so that's what I want to say. I believe the Bengals are going to win the AFC North, and I believe the Steelers are going to finish third in the division but still make the playoffs. That's the bold prediction from Nicholas Harry Callis. I believe the Steelers can still make the playoffs as a third-place team, and I believe the AFC North is going to be very competitive this year. And the AFC is annoying. I'm annoyed by all the talent in the conference. It's not very balanced. The NFC has a few powerhouses, but there are so many scary teams in the AFC this year. There are so many teams with such big names. And it really, I'm annoyed because it one conference is going to be unbalanced. It seems like whoever wins the conference championship this year in the AFC will win the Super Bowl. Now, weirder things have happened in sports. And I know if I predict that and then it turns out that an NFC team wins, and I'm sure many of you will come back at me on Twitter or call me on this show and say you were wrong, and I'll have to eat that if that were the case. But I do believe that it's likely that if an AFC team makes it to the Super Bowl this year, that AFC team will have the edge. Gotta give it to the Philadelphia Eagles, though, for putting up a good fight against the Chiefs in last season's Super Bowl. And if it were up to me, I would have had the Eagles win, but they made a couple mistakes that hurt them. In a tightly contested game, those mistakes came back to bite them. So, yeah, it happens. It happens. But anyway, yeah, the AFC is just dominant. And, the New York Jets going after Dalvin Cook now. So it seems like the running backs have kind of simmered a little bit with their tiny little revolt there. Because there's really nothing that they can do. They can't just unionize based on position, and if they did, that would just create this massive, complicated network where now each position gets, you know, addressed individually, and it just doesn't seem to make sense. All the players play, and there are different positions, and there are different responsibilities, but that's like if you're in an office, and the accountant section, they all get their own union, and the salespeople, they all get their own union, and the upper-level management, they all get their own union. That just doesn't make sense. You know, everybody plays a certain position. Quarterbacks, undoubtedly the most important position in the offense. The quarterback's got to know every play all the time and manage all that's going on. Now, we can go back on instant replay and we can look and we can scrutinize quarterbacks. I know many of us on Twitter and other socials, we love to do that. We love to call out players for missing things. And the big networks like to put slow motion replay up there to show you where quarterbacks miss plays and where they could have thrown the ball or what options they could have taken. But really, we as average people could not go out there and dissect and slow down the plays like these guys as quarterbacks can. And I remember, you know, when I was in high school, our head coach was adamant on making sure that the quarterback knew every single play and knew what every player was doing at all times, not only to execute the play properly, but if we as players forgot, like I remember playing tailback on a few plays that we would run, and if I didn't know the play, I had to ask the quarterback, and the quarterback would tell me which way to go, which side to line up on, which route to run if it was a passing play. And if I didn't know the play, and I asked him, and the quarterback didn't know the play, the coach got mad at the quarterback. So I say this just to say that each position does its own thing. Like, one wide receiver has to know which route he's running. Each running back has to know which side to line up on, which hole to hit. All the linemen have to know which assignments to block, but they're all individuals. The quarterback brings that all together. And I make that point to say that quarterbacks get paid the most because quarterbacks have to handle all of that going on. The quarterbacks are in charge of all assignments on the field. So when running backs try to call for more money, and I'm not saying it, I've sided with them plenty, and I get where their gripe is coming from, but to say that Najee was talking about how, you know, when running backs come up in big plays and stuff, that's really where the money's made because running backs are asked to make big plays late. That's not always true. I mean, any player at any point in time can make a big play or be asked to make a big play depending on what the scenario is. It's not always the running back. And Mark Caboli mentioned that yesterday on the Fan Morning Show, and that point kind of stuck with me because it's true. I mean, any player can really be asked to do anything in a big situation at any time. It just depends where you are in the game and what options you have. If you're on the 45-yard line on your opponent's territory, you're not going to run the ball to score a touchdown that's going to give you the lead. You're going to need a creative pass play or, you know, a bunch of pitchbacks or whatever late in the game to get you that score. Now, if you're on the 1-yard line and you're down by 4 points, yeah, you might be more likely to run the ball if you have a few downs. So it's all relative in that case. But I'm saying that if they want to unionize and say, hey, yeah, we deserve more money and we deserve to be heard as just one position, like, it doesn't make sense. You always have so many positions, so many roles done in so many aspects of life that, like, one union can cover that all. The NFLPA, the Players Association, can handle that. Undoubtedly, handle all the positions. Because in each position, there are positions that deserve to have, there are positions that deserve to be more valued than running back positions. That's just the case. That's how it is. That's how it should be. And they all need to be managed by one entity. They should not be split up and unionizing based on their individual role. It's just uncommon. It doesn't make sense, and it could complicate things in a way that might not be necessary. We got to call it 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, Nicholas. This is Dennis from Scottsdale.
Dennis, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Kenny Pickett, buddy.
Go ahead.
Hey, my thing with Kenny Pickett is, he grew leaps and bounds last year, coming in mid through the season and getting barely any work with the ones through training camp. He's had a full off season on top of only throwing one pick through the last 8 games. He's a worker. He's a studier. He's got his own office at the practice facility where he's studying with Minka. He knows the playbook. He's got weapons. Nobody's given Allen Robinson any credit. Deontay can get open at will. And he's got a catching machine in Pickens that can put his body in positions that not many people can do.
Dennis,
they got a better line. I feel like Kenny Pickett is going to take the Steelers wherever they want to go as long as they let him change the play at the line. Don't handcuff the kid. Let him play ball, and he's going to take you where you want to go.
Sure, I got one point for you. The only thing is that Deontay can get open, but Deontay's got to catch the football. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
His hands have been a little – he's had stone hands for the last couple seasons. He's got to work on that for sure.
he'll make an amazing catch down the sidelines, then he drops the easy ones.
Exactly. You got to make the routine plays, right?
Yeah, but my whole thing is, rated number 28th in the league, Kenny Pickett's not getting the respect he deserves, and he's going to earn it this year. My bet is he's top 15 in the league at the end of this year. I would like to know your prediction on maybe his total yardage and touchdown to interception ratio, because I'm getting in quite a few arguments with people on social media.
I hear you. I have terrible estimates on that stuff. Dennison, thank you for the call. I'm not going to make any number predictions. That's not me. But I will say that being ranked that low is not fair for Kenny Pickett. I agree with everything Dennis said, other than Deontay Johnson a little bit. Deontay Johnson can get open, but he's got to make routine plays. Has to make routine plays. Deontay Johnson does. But everybody else, yeah, George Pickens, I think, can break out this season. I think has the potential to be a top wide receiver in the NFL. Talked a little bit last year, not a great look to some. I'm fine with it. I think that him expressing himself is kind of a good thing, as long as he doesn't do it in an overbearing manner or he turns into Antonio Brown. Don't want that. But, yeah, I think Pickens can break out. He'll be fine. Deontay's just got to make the routine plays. But Kenny Pickett, I think that it is underrated how much he's done and what he's overcome to break out and how well he developed through the second half of the season. That to put him below some guys who haven't even played in the NFL before is, I think, not fair and is an underestimate of Pickett's ability to come into this season and really make an impact in the AFC North and throughout the NFL. Got another caller. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, it's Dave.
Dave from Delmont?
No, Dave from McCandless.
Ah, okay. Dave, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I had to call because I was listening to, was it George talk about Kenny Pickett?
No, that was, I already forgot his name, from Scottsdale. Dennis, that was his name.
Oh, Dennis. Okay, Dennis, yeah. Talking about Kenny Pickett. If Dennis is still listening, Kenny Pickett is probably the 10th best quarterback in the AFC, period.
Okay.
I don't understand the hype that Kenny Pickett gets. If Kenny Pickett had gone to the University of Nevada or Utah, everybody would be absolutely panicking. But since he went to Pitt and is the golden boy, everybody loves him. Listen.
Well, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm saying that I think that people are coming from a standpoint where this dude didn't get any first team reps last season and then got thrown into the game against the Jets, had the rest of the first half of the year before the bye week to kind of figure it out. And then in the second half of the year, he made plays and kept himself cool in situations. It felt like he's not Ben Roethlisberger, but it felt like we were just going through the motions again, where Big Ben will bail us out of games. And that's exactly what he was doing last season, was bailing the Steelers out of games late and keeping them in games and putting together multiple games in a row where he put together those winning drives to get the Steelers to win and to get them into a playoff position by the ending week of the season.
Okay, well, a couple of counterpoints on that. One, they didn't play a decent quarterback for those last eight games.
Yeah.
For the other teams, you had David Carr on the downside of his career, Matt Ryan on a downside of his career, a backup from Baltimore. You played some lousy, lousy football teams.
Tyler Huntley? Who was the other guy?
Huntley was the one. I forget who the other one was. The other backup for Baltimore. But also, Kenny Pickett's at the time is 24 years old. He's not a 21-year-old that they're throwing in here. Kenny Pickett is older than Trevor Lawrence. He's older than Tua. He's older than Jalen Hurts. Lamar Jackson is 1 year older than Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's not a rookie by age that they're throwing in to these games. I understand that they're playing in the NFL and it's a different level, but it's not like Kenny Pickett's 21 years old and they're throwing him into these games.
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
He's been in college for 5 years.
I hear you.
He ought to be ready to handle that stuff.
Dave, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Your points are valid. I just think that he'll figure it out this year, getting the full NFL experience. I get, okay, he's whatever age he is, you know, 24. He's older than some of those quarterbacks. I understand that. He's only 1 year younger than Lamar Jackson, but he hasn't played NFL football. And the fact that he adjusted to the NFL, and regardless of how bad we can perceive those teams from last year as well, it wasn't Kenny Pickett stopping the offense for those other bad teams. It was the Steelers' defense stopping those teams, and Kenny Pickett, when it mattered in crunch time, made those plays happen. So we can agree to disagree on some points. I think 28th overall in that rank, in those rankings, though, for some of these media outlets to talk about football, I think that's not fair. 28th, that's not fair. 10th in the AFC, we'll see, but 28th. Overall, if we're talking, I mean, in some places, that's just not fair. I think he deserves a better chance than that, just because you really don't know what you have. You really don't know what to expect until you play in those games. College football is one thing, but playing in the National Football League, totally different. We got another caller at 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up, buddy? My name is Marcus. I was on the way home from work. I work night shift. I listened to the caller before last, and the way he talked, it just, like, I don't know, it, like, spurred me a little bit. Because, I mean, yeah, it's okay to be optimistic, and it's okay to be hopeful whenever it comes to Kenny Pickett, but there's so many unknowns that we don't know about this guy yet. I mean,
yeah,
he was in an offense last year where they had him handcuffed. They didn't give him the full playbook. I mean, yes, there's that. But at the same point, too, he was the first quarterback drafted in a quarterback week draft. I mean, yeah, that really don't say too much. But at the same time, it's like we don't know what we're getting here. And then whenever last year, whenever they actually did let him throw the ball and let him did air it out, he did look promising. But ultimately, it just depends on what they're going to let him do whenever you have Matt Canada running the plays.
It's really a glass half full or half empty situation because we don't know. There are things we can look at that are good, but there are things that we can look at that might cause us to worry. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because, I mean, you hear everybody say, oh, yeah, Kenny Pickett, yeah, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. He's going to set the world on fire. He's going to set every passing record imaginable. But, I mean, yeah, sure, it's okay to be a homer, but at the same time, you have to be realistic about this stuff. He's a second-year quarterback. I mean, the offense, it wants to be run-heavy. We don't know what we're going to get with him. I mean, if anything, they could be grooming him to be a game manager for all we know.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. No, I'm not sitting here saying that he's going to break records. And when Dennis called earlier, I don't think that he even was saying that as well. And there are good points, because we don't know exactly what we're going to get. I'm going to err on the side of optimism because of that second half. And I think that the second half of the season can kind of carry over. And the fact that we all know now that Kenny Pickett has had enough NFL experience. I mean, the dude fought through a concussion as well last season, came back and, you know, still put together a solid season. For being injured through some of it and for not starting the season. I think that all should be factored in, and I'll err a little bit more on the side of optimism. I don't think he's going to break records either. I agree with you, or I can align to your opinion if you're worried and you don't know. I'm with all of that, and I can understand all of that. To say, though, that he's the 28th ranked quarterback in the NFL, I think is nonsense. I think that's not fair to him, especially since some people over him, some players over him, have not yet played in the NFL. They are just drafted or some other form of rookies. Like, that just, to me, that doesn't make much sense, and that's not fair to Kenny Pickett. You want to be a little worried for this season? Sure. If you think he's going to break records, I do believe that you're a little bit over your head in that prediction. If he's going to break records and be this Hall of Famer, I think it's too soon to tell for that. I'll give you that. But 28th in the NFL, one of these places, one of these predicting media outlets said 28th of the 32 teams in the NFL, Kenny Pickett's the 28th ranked starting quarterback. Get out of here with that. That's not fair. 412-928-9370, talking about the NFL. Also, big Pirates news. Carlos Santana traded to the Milwaukee Brewers, and in return, the Pirates get an 18-year-old shortstop. We can talk about that. I've got some quick opinions on that coming up next that I will reveal if we have time coming up next. And you can continue to call in. You can talk about the Pirates. If you want to continue to talk about the Steelers, we can do that as well. And I can also finish my rant about running backs. We have time coming up next. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and this is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and we got some people that want to talk about the Steelers, Kenny Pickett, and what they're going to do this season. Made my prediction. Also talked about the running back situation a little bit that's been going on, the controversy, so we can talk about that as well. Right now we got some callers on the line. First, we got Will. What's going on, Will?
Hey, what's up?
Good. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the Steelers. I think that I'm going to predict that they're going to go 11-6, and I think we're going to have a top five defense in the NFL and a top five offense, which I think will make us probably the second best team in our division behind the Bengals. And I think that's going to allow us to get to the second round of the playoffs. We're probably going to beat, like, the Jaguars or something in the first round.
So you got heavy optimism for the Steelers team, huh?
Maybe it's heavy. I think it's what is, you know, I think that's what they need to get done. That's what's expected. I don't think it's high optimism. I think that's what to be expected. I think Kenny Pickett, there's nothing wrong with him being a game manager. I think that's how Ben started out. The only difference is Ben had a lot more veterans around him, and so I think that helped him progress a little bit quicker.
Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you for your opinion. And I like it. Let's go to Kerry. What's going on, Kerry?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
So I wanted to talk about the ranking for Kenny Pickett. You said about 28th.
Yeah.
And I caught just the end of it. And my question is, How do you see Kenny Pickett compared to Mitch Trubisky as how much better he is than right now? Not what he could be.
Kenny Pickett's a little bit more mobile than I'd say Trubisky is, and I think Kenny Pickett has a little bit better accuracy on his throws. Trubisky didn't really have that confidence, and he was thrown into pressure a lot and, you know, wasn't making great decisions. I think Pickett has, you know, a little bit more calmness in him and just, you know, more ability to be, you know, aggressive and make those good throws. And then also getting out of the pocket and scrambling or rushing, I think he's better than that as well. Trubisky doesn't run as well as Pickett.
So Trubisky being, what, a top backup quarterback in your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Middle of the pack?
Yeah, I think the Steelers have one of the best backup quarterback situations of any of the teams right now. Maybe Baltimore has a little bit better, but the Steelers are up there with their quarterback situation right now, I would say.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. I don't think there's that much separation between Pickett and Trubisky. So I feel like until Pickett proves people wrong, you're going to see him at the lower tier of the starting quarterbacks and rankings.
Yeah, I get that.
That was my opinion on it.
I get that he has enough to prove, and thank you for the call, Kerry. I appreciate it. I think that Kenny still has a lot to prove. I just think that the national pundits out there right now are underestimating Kenny Pickett greatly. They're not giving him, I think, you know, the fairness to say what he actually could be this season, especially when, again, he's being ranked under players who have not yet played in the NFL. To me, that's the part that's not fair. I think that he deserves a better chance to be perceived better by, you know, and he has the ability to break out, and I think that they're just underestimating him way, way too much. He's not one of the best yet. He still has a lot to prove, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't assume at least a little bit that he's going to be able to prove that and do things well. Now, I'll also say this because, you know, I get frustrated with Matt Canada, and I have for the longest time. Matt Canada really doesn't say anything when he talks, and, you know, that's frustrating. When he talks to the media, he's not really saying anything. But also, when he's trying to execute plays or draw up plays, he's not really doing much for me there either. And if he restrains Kenny Pickett again, and the offense doesn't have the ability to break out, then I'm going to be frustrated there as well, because it is going to take the mind of Matt Canada or some competent offensive coordinator to strategize and to look at ways to make sure that Kenny Pickett is set up for success. Many of the first halves of games last season, the offense started out slow and then they've needed comeback wins. And I make that comparison to Ben Roethlisberger, not to say that Kenny Pickett is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback or is going to be exactly Ben Roethlisberger, but I'm saying that if Pickett has to come back in those games in the second half, it's really no different than when Ben Roethlisberger was on the team coming back in the second half of many of those games. That's where the comparison comes in. It feels like Ben never left because, okay, the offense started out slow, struggled in the first half of the games, and then in the second half, they would come back and win. The only exception to that as well, too, is when the Steelers beat the Bengals in week one. The offense started out strong, but then the Bengals' defense adjusted, and the Steelers weren't really able to score in that second half. And then they had to win it in overtime after the Bengals missed two field goals that could have won them the game. So it's all, you know, that's really all of what it is. Other than that one game, it really just proves that Matt Canada doesn't make adjustments well. And then other teams caught on. So by the end of the year, you have to catch up and try something different, try something off the cuff to be able to win football games. So that's really where I stand on that. I think that Matt Canada and Steelers management is going to have to be a key in making sure that Kenny Pickett is set up for success. But Kenny Pickett as himself, as the quarterback, I think has the ability to do great things against certain teams and to have a breakout season and to be an impact quarterback this season. Doesn't mean he's going to be the greatest quarterback that's ever lived. Doesn't mean that he's going to even be a Hall of Famer. It just means that he's good enough and the team around him should be good enough for him to play well. And if it's not, maybe he's not a good quarterback. Maybe Matt Canada doesn't drop a good offense. Maybe other players on the team play a role or have a factor in that. It's all going to depend. It's all going to be relative. I think Matt Canada could help set up Kenny Pickett for success, though, and I'm going to be frustrated if Kenny Pickett doesn't break out and several people blame Pickett when Matt Canada's not putting together a good offense. And the way Matt Canada addresses the media, I mean, I love Omar Khan, and Omar Khan seems so open and so willing to, you know, talk and to say things and to be personable. Kyle Dubas, the same way, the new Penguins GM or the director of hockey operations and acting general manager, I think he as well addresses the media well and talks well and makes you feel like it's personable. Like that, you know, you're a person or the media members are people and he's also just a guy. Matt Canada, though, when he talks, he's just like, well, you know, I got a great job. Why should I have to worry about anything? Well, you know, we're trying to score a lot. We're trying to win games. I just hate that. I hate the way he talks. And then he goes out there and he struggles early in games, and then later in the games they have to throw something together that's off the cuff to be able to win football games. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons that I may be frustrated with the offense by the end of the year if it doesn't pan out. But if Matt Canada can set up Kenny Pickett for success and Kenny Pickett can execute plays that lead the Steelers to winning, then good. I'm going to be happy with that. And I hope that that's what happens. I hope that Pickett is set up for success, and I hope Canada can handle managing the Steelers' offense as the coordinator this season. But I'll lean on the side of optimism, not too hot on the Steelers, but also I feel like they could manage. They'll be okay. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and Adam Crowley is not yet at Studio B. That's where they were set to do their broadcast from this morning, and the Fan Morning Show pre-show is supposed to begin at 5:40, but might have a change of plans. You're going to get an extended version of the Fan Early Morning Show where we can continue to talk football. I'll try to address the Pirates trade a little bit moving forward and finish my talk about the running back situation in the NFL when I come back, but it seems you're going to get an extended version of the Fan Early Morning Show this morning on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. More to come when I come back, and I'll take more of your calls at 412-928-9370. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Morning Show Kickoff presented by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. Adam Crowley en route, so it seems. They were supposed to be at Studio B this morning, and now they're not, apparently. So they're en route. They should be coming back here soon. But I figure I'd still give you your dose of Sandstorm. Some of you like it, some of you don't. I like it, so I'm going to play it and get you pumped up this morning. This technically is an extended version of the Fan Morning Show, the early morning show. So that's what we're doing while we wait for Crowley to come back. Or just give me notice that Studio B ended up working out. So we'll solve all that as we continue to talk about sports, though. But we're not going to leave you hanging. You can still call in. I'm going to talk about sports. I know that it's technically the Fan Morning Show pre-show is supposed to be about, you know, random goodness and alien and dinosaur talk like they did yesterday. But we're going to kind of mix it up a little bit here, too, and still talk about sports. And that's why I'm going to technically still refer to this as the Fan Early Morning Show, so we can still talk about sports. So if you want to call and talk about the Steelers, 412-928-9370. If you want to talk about the running back situation in the NFL, you're welcome to do that. If you want to talk about the Pirates, they traded Carlos Santana to a division rival, the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to talk about that as well. 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on Twitter if you want to tag me in a tweet. That's at @Callis_33, @Callis_33. We can talk about any of that. You want to tweet me, you want to call me, you're welcome to do either. But, you know, it seems Kenny Pickett is the hot topic and, you know, his success. Either way, whether you have faith in him or not, his success will be vital and will be a direct parallel to how the Steelers do all season. I don't think the Steelers can win with defense alone in what the AFC is this year with the great offenses that are there. And in today's NFL, really, if you can outscore your defense, you can win. If you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes who can scheme things together and put up routinely 30 points a game or so, then you're a team that can win, and defenses can't really stop the best of the best. Or defenses have a tough time stopping a great quarterback who can have the option to run or to pass at will. So the AFC is going to be tough this year, that's for sure. And if you don't have an offense that can score rapidly, you very well might fall behind. And the Steelers have learned that over the last few seasons. So call me and talk about it, 412-928-9370. Again, you can tweet me at @Callis_33. That's @Callis_33. This is an extended version of the Fan Early Morning Show while we wait for Adam Crowley to come back and to participate in this morning show. All right, let's talk about this. To finish what I was saying about the running backs as well, I just, bottom line, I think that the running backs in the NFL can't just separate themselves from everybody. Their position right now, not too valued, and I think that all of them are going to get contracts eventually, and you're seeing that. Saquon Barkley signed, Dalvin Cook interested in the New York Jets. I don't think he would turn down an offer to play for them and their team that has high expectations on them now with Aaron Rodgers playing. Who also took a pay cut. Aaron Rodgers took a pay cut to be able to allow the Jets to afford other players. So, and Mark Caboli said yesterday on the Fan Morning Show, around 9 o'clock yesterday, if you want to listen to the whole conversation, rewind or go to our podcasting page and you'll be able to find it. But if you go and you look, and you listen to that, Caboli said that he believes that the Steelers are going to pay Najee Harris no matter what, which is inspiring to hear. The Steelers aren't necessarily going, they're not going to leave Harris out to dry. They are going to pay him eventually when it's time to pay him. That's what Caboli thinks, and he's, you know, on the inside of the Steelers with the Athletic. I think that Najee just genuinely wants to protect the other running backs in the league, and he's willing to support them if they feel that they're being mismanaged. And Najee also explicitly said in the press conference where he talked at length about the NFL running back controversy, he even said that, no, it's not a Steelers issue, it's not an Omar Khan issue, it's not a Mike Tomlin issue, this is just the league is abusing running backs. So he's going to get paid, according to Mark Caboli. He's likely to get paid, and he doesn't have a problem with the Steelers. organization in any capacity. So he really just wanted to go out there and talk and support other players in the league at his position, which may be admirable. But there really isn't much that, the running backs can do further in this. It's just they have to, they're going to have to move on, and it seems that some of the big names are already moving on. Dalvin Cook reportedly interested heavily in the Jets. Saquon Barkley accepted a one-year deal worth $11 million to go back to the New York Giants. So, yeah, their little revolt doesn't seem to be holding much water anymore. There's really nothing they can do until a new CBA gets negotiated toward the end of the decade. So that's what's going on here. And I've said yesterday as well that I agree with Jim Irsay, NFL owner. He said that, you know, it's not appropriate to renegotiate terms of a deal in the middle of a deal. We're all making compromises here. So, you know, we're giving so that you can take, and we're letting you take what we give. So you're taking what we're giving, and we're giving and taking. And it's all a relationship where that CBA comes into effect. And if you try to, you know, cut through the terms of that unexpectedly, that's not fair to the owners. And I understand that to an extent as well. So it's just difficult to, kind of manage. I mean, it is a difficult situation, but The running backs are not in prime position right now to make any sort of change anytime soon. 412-928-9370. Continue to talk about the NFL, the Steelers, if you want, these last few minutes. Waiting for Adam Crowley to come back. Supposed to be at Studio B this morning, but not quite there yet. So this is an extended version of the Fan Early Morning Show with me, Nicholas Harry Callis. And let's talk a little bit about Carlos Santana getting traded to the Brewers. I'm a bit frustrated by this development from the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates decided to go out and trade for an 18-year-old shortstop, Johnny Severino. And in turn, you know, is he going to be a replacement for Nick Gonzalez or O'Neal Cruz one day? I mean, he's 18, not likely to make it to the majors this season. And I think we all wanted, if a trade was going to happen at any point in time, I think we all would agree, and we all wanted some sort of major league-ready person to come in. And I get that the Pirates can't just abandon the future altogether. They need to stockpile prospects. But this just seemed, you know, Carlos Santana was a fan favorite and was actually producing, and now you trade him for somebody who is not even close to being major league ready. Apparently one of the biggest signing bonuses in Milwaukee Brewers franchise history. But what does that do? What does that do for us? Like I don't understand what that's going to do for the Pirates right now. What does it do for us as fans? And what does it do for us right now as the Pirates organization is concerned? Like, I don't see how that's helping for the immediate future. I don't know if this is going to be a chip for leverage in the future, but to me right now, I was just a little bit disappointed in you know, the one player return that the Pirates got for a guy who was actually producing for them this season and somebody I was hoping that they would retain beyond this season. And he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He signed a one-year contract at Santana, so maybe they'll bring him back, but maybe they'll find somebody better. Maybe this guy's going to pan out to be a great prospect. I'm not entirely sure, but in the moment, just in this moment after I got the trade news, my heart dropped a little bit, and I was, you know, a little bit upset by it, just because I like Santana so much, and the return they got was a guy who may not see the majors for the next couple seasons. Oh, look at this! There's Adam Crowley coming in, and Mark Caboli's here! Oh my goodness! What a treat this is, and it's dark in the studio right now because I didn't turn on the lights because I wasn't anticipating they'd be here, so there's still darkness. Here comes the light. Adam Crowley, Mark Caboli, sleeveless shirt on this morning, flexing his muscles, and Crowley throwing his bag around, walking out the door, probably going to go get his coffee. And the two hosts are back, which means that my time on the air has come to a conclusion. But thanks for participating in this extended version of the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and no Fan Morning Show pre-show this morning. We're going to get right to it at 6 o'clock with the Fan Morning Show. Adam Crowley and Mark Caboli filling in for Doran Dickerson. When we come back, this is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Also want to give you Fan Weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. You can also check them out online at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 91, low of 72, partly cloudy skies expected. And tomorrow, high of 85, low of 72, a 60% chance of rain. Show kickoff presented by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. Adam Crowley en route, so it seems. They were supposed to be at Studio B this morning, and now they're not, apparently. So they're en route. They should be coming back here soon, but I figure I'd still give you your dose of Sandstorm. Some of you like it, some of you don't. I like it, so I'm going to play it and get you pumped up this morning. This technically is an extended version of the Fan Morning Show, the early morning show. So that's what we're doing while we wait for Crowley to come back. Or just give me notice that Studio B ended up working out. So we'll solve all that as we continue to talk about sports, though. But we're not going to leave you hanging. You can still call in. I'm going to talk about sports. I know that it's technically the Fan Morning Show pre-show is supposed to be about, you know, random goodness and alien and dinosaur talk like they did yesterday. But we're going to kind of mix it up a little bit here, too, and still talk about sports. And that's why I'm going to technically still refer to this as the Fan Early Morning Show, so we can still talk about sports. So if you want to call and talk about the Steelers, 412-928-9370. If you want to talk about the running back situation in the NFL, you're welcome to do that. If you want to talk about the Pirates, they traded Carlos Santana to a division rival, the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to talk about that as well. 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on Twitter if you want to tag me in a tweet. That's at @Callis_33, @Callis_33. We can talk about any of that. You want to tweet me, you want to call me, you're welcome to do either. But, you know, it seems Kenny Pickett is the hot topic, and, you know, his success, either way, whether you have faith in him or not, his success will be vital and will be a direct parallel to how the Steelers do all season. I don't think the Steelers can win with defense alone in what the AFC is this year with the great offenses that are there. And in today's NFL, really, if you can outscore your defense, you can win. If you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes who can scheme things together and put up routinely 30 points a game or so, then you're a team that can win. And defenses can't really stop the best of the best. Or defenses have a tough time stopping a great quarterback who can have the option to run or to pass at will. So the AFC is going to be tough this year, that's for sure. And if you don't have an offense that can score rapidly, you very well might fall behind. And the Steelers have learned that over the last few seasons. So call me and talk about it, 412-928-9370. Again, you can tweet me at @Callis_33. That's @Callis_33. This is an extended version of the Fan Early Morning Show while we wait for Adam Crowley to come back and to participate in this morning's show. All right, let's talk about this. To finish what I was saying about the running backs as well, I just, bottom line, I think that the running backs in the NFL can't just separate themselves from everybody. Their position right now, not too valued, and I think that all of them are going to get contracts eventually, and you're seeing that. Saquon Barkley signed. Dalvin Cook interested in the New York Jets. I don't think he would turn down an offer to play for them and their team that has high expectations on them now with Aaron Rodgers playing. Who also took a pay cut. Aaron Rodgers took a pay cut to be able to allow the Jets to afford other players. So, and Mark Caboli said yesterday on the Fan Morning Show around 9 o'clock yesterday. If you want to listen to the whole conversation, rewind or go to our podcasting page, and you'll be able to find it. But if you go and you look, you know, and you listen to that, Cabali said that he believes that the Steelers are going to pay Najee Harris no matter what, which is inspiring to hear. The Steelers aren't necessarily going, they're not going to leave Harris out to dry. They are going to pay him eventually when it's time to pay him. That's what Cabali thinks, and he's, you know, on the inside of the Steelers with the Athletic. I think that Najee just genuinely wants to protect the other running backs in the league, and he's willing to support them if they feel that they're being mismanaged. And Najee also explicitly said in the press conference where he talked at length about the NFL running back controversy, he even said that, no, it's not a Steelers issue, it's not an Omar Khan issue, it's not a Mike Tomlin issue, this is just the league is abusing running backs. So he's going to get paid, according to Mark Cabali. He's likely to get paid, and he doesn't have a problem with the Steelers organization in any capacity, so he really just wanted to go out there and talk and support other players in the league at his position, which may be admirable. But there really isn't much that the running backs can do further in this. It's just they're going to have to move on, and it seems that some of the big names are already moving on. Dalvin Cook reportedly interested heavily in the Jets. Saquon Barkley accepted a one-year deal worth $11 million to go back to the New York Giants. So, yeah, their little revolt doesn't seem to be holding much water anymore, and there's really nothing they can do until a new CBA gets negotiated toward the end of the decade. So that's what's going on here. And I've said yesterday as well that I agree with Jim Irsay, NFL owner. He said that, you know, it's not appropriate to renegotiate terms of a deal in the middle of a deal. We're all making compromises here. So, you know, we're giving so that you can take, and we're letting you take what we give. So you're taking what we're giving, and we're giving and taking. And it's all a relationship where that CBA comes into effect. And if you try to, you know, cut through the terms of that unexpectedly, that's not fair to the owners. And I understand that to an extent as well. So it's just difficult to, kind of manage. I mean, it is a difficult situation, but The running backs are not in prime position right now to make any sort of change anytime soon. 412-928-9370. Continue to talk about the NFL, the Steelers, if you want, these last few minutes. Waiting for Adam Crowley to come back. Supposed to be at Studio B this morning, but not quite there yet. So this is an extended version of the Fan Early Morning Show with me, Nicholas Harry Callis. And let's talk a little bit about Carlos Santana getting traded to the Brewers. I'm a bit frustrated by this development from the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates decided to go out and trade for an 18-year-old shortstop, Johnny Severino. And in turn, you know, is he going to be a replacement for Nick Gonzalez or O'Neill Cruz one day? I mean, he's 18, not likely to make it to the majors this season. And I think we all wanted, if a trade was going to happen at any point in time, I think we all would agree, and we all wanted some sort of major league-ready person to come in. And I get that the Pirates can't just abandon the future altogether. They need to stockpile prospects. But this just seemed, you know, Carlos Santana was a fan favorite and was actually producing, and now you trade him for somebody who is not even close to being major league ready. Apparently one of the biggest signing bonuses in Milwaukee Brewers franchise history. But what does that do? What does that do for us? Like I don't understand what that's going to do for the Pirates right now. What does it do for us as fans? And what does it do for us right now as the Pirates organization is concerned? Like, I don't see how that's helping for the immediate future. I don't know if this is going to be a chip for leverage in the future, but to me right now, I was just a little bit disappointed in you know, the one player return that the Pirates got for a guy who was actually producing for them this season and somebody I was hoping that they would retain beyond this season. And he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He signed a one-year contract at Santana, so maybe they'll bring him back, but maybe they'll find somebody better. Maybe this guy's going to pan out to be a great prospect. I'm not entirely sure, but in the moment, just in this moment after I got the trade news, my heart dropped a little bit, and I was, you know, a little bit upset by it, just because I like Santana so much, and the return they got was a guy who may not see the majors for the next couple seasons. Oh, look at this. There's Adam Crowley coming in, and Mark Caboli's here. Oh, my goodness. What a treat this is, and it's dark in the studio right now because I didn't turn on the lights because I wasn't anticipating they'd be here, so there's still darkness. Here comes the light. Adam Crowley, Mark Caboli, sleeveless shirt on this morning, flexing his muscles, and Crowley throwing his bag around, walking out the door, probably going to go get his coffee. And the two hosts are back, which means that my time on the air has come to a conclusion. But thanks for participating in this extended version of the Fan early morning show. My name is Nicholas Arikalas, and no Fan morning show pre-show this morning. We're going to get right to it at 6 o'clock with the Fan morning show. Adam Crowley and Mark Caboli filling in for Doran Dickerson. When we come back, this is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Also want to give you Fan weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. You can also check them out online at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 91, low of 72, partly cloudy skies expected. And tomorrow, high of 85, low of 72, a 60% chance of rain.